Hello everyone and welcome to the 11th episode of Loud and Anxious. This is Serena.
And this is Murat.
And how is life, guys? Here is quite cloud. It doesn't even look June, actually. The weather is pretty nice, though, temperature-wise. And the week was quite busy for me. What about you, Murat?
Yeah, my week also was quite busy. I'm strangled with the microphone. my beard.
Oh.
So, yeah. My week was good, actually. It was also busy. I didn't understand how it passed, which is good.
Yeah, so exactly. For me, it was the other way around. Yeah. But luckily, we're here to record our 11th episode.
Yeah.
What is on the menu today?
Well, on the menu today, we will start with the best and the worst releases of this year so far. It is just the middle of the year, so it's the end of the June. And we will talk about our favorite and least favorite worst releases so far. And then we have our discoveries. We will talk about those. We have like two bands to talk about. Our discussion topics, well, we didn't mention it, but we again challenge each other because we had some nice feedback from our first challenge. What we did two playlists with non-metal or rock songs each other, and we challenged each other to hear that, and we will share our comments about it. Then in Deep Metal Secret State, we will talk about being a teenager in the 2000s. So as
when
a metalhead,
teenagers.
Yeah, and this will be it for today.
So yes, some administration things. Actually, I noticed in the last episode we didn't mention we are in Spotify, we're in Apple Podcast, we are in Anchor. You can find us everywhere, also in SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing is that in SoundCloud I don't have enough space for all the episodes, so I'm start to cancel the old ones. So if you want to keep up with episode 1, 2, 3, you have to go to anchor.fm or Spotify and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, we have our Patreon. If you want to support us or like write a comment and follow our blog, you can go. You will find all the information in Anchor and Spotify as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, you can reach us at our Gmail account, loudandanxious@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And or follow also our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel, Loud and Anxious, in which we post one playlist each episode. And in this playlist, you can find some music about the artists that we mentioned during the episode.
Yes.
And after this boring stuff, we can start actually with the best release that we found and worst release that we found until now in 2020.
Yeah, of course, this will be a very subjective issue. So basically, we just what we decided, we both of us, we decided on two albums that we liked the most and one album that we like the least that are released in this episode. So let's start with your favorite release in 2020 so far.
So I was checking a couple of articles from Metal Injection and Loudwire. So I wanted to see also from their side which were the best album. Some of them I recognize it. I mean, we already talked about Poppy, for example, or Catatonia. But I was more interested in new releases that we didn't touch yet. Because the one that we already discussed, they are nice, but for me, they're not the best. And actually, I found two that they're my favorite so far. So one is from okay, it's very difficult to pronounce the name of the band, Kvelertak, a Swedish band, and they released their full-length split. The thing that I like about this band is that, okay, it's a stoner hardcore band, and I really like the way that they mix these two genres together, and it's a really like happy hardcore band. I don't know how to say it, but their own music is really bright, which is something that you don't really find in the hardcore projects. Like normally they are super angry, they are quite maybe not depressive, but let's say dark releases, and this one, the opposite, is really like I don't know how to define except bright.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of sludge also inside, and this is also something that I like. I like when bands have like maybe a reference genre, but they pick up from also different other genre, cultures, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice to see people that actually experiment and they try new things. And they are from Norway. Sorry, they are mm-hmm. not Swedish. I actually put a note, but I didn't read it. So yeah, so I really advise people to listen to them, especially if you like. I would say stoner, because if you're into hardcore, maybe you will not really like them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like stoner or even psychedelic rock, I think that you might like them. That mm-hmm. they're quite far from psychedelic rock, but still I think that you have the taste to listen to them. And the other band is Finnish, mm-hmm. And it's called Oranssi Pazuzu. I don't know how many of you guys know about them. Oranssi is apparently the Finnish way to say orange, and Pazuzu was like a demon from the Babylonian mythology or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they just released in 2020 their last full length called Mastering Kinsey. I guess it's Finnish, so I hope I pronounce it correctly. And the thing that I like about this band, and I really really like, is that they play psychedelic black metal. Also another thing that you don't see so often. I mean, mm-hmm. when I think about black metal, or the most of the release that I checked that are black metal are, let's say, standard black metal. So mm-hmm. you know, you have like normal like triggers, or like you know, this really shift of tempo from like 20 seconds to the others. Mm-hmm. You know, classical Mayhem style.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I like about them is that they put like elements from psychedelic rock inside the black metal structure, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like I don't know, it seems like a spacey album. I don't know how to say it, because also like the effects that they use and how they build the song with these never-ending loops that they're like growing, you know, like they're becoming like something really epic at a certain moment.
Mm-hmm.
Makes the whole album, how can I say, like you're in a trip or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's psychedelic, but like I don't know, also a kind of alien atmosphere. It's really like particular.
Mm-hmm,
Oh yeah, it's something that you, I don't think that there's another band that sounds like them so far in the black scene.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I mean, I'm not really into the black scene, so maybe I'm saying bullshit, but they are really really interested as a band, and they are worth to be followed during their own artistical path, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's why I want to pick up these two bands. They are not well known, so also I hope that I give like good advices to our listener. But yeah, that's all from my side.
Yeah, well, for me, I just basically chose very well known bands, let's say. First, for me, the best release so far in this year is the Leaves of Yesterday of Greencarnation. I think since they released, I talk about this album in every episode. So
maybe, yes.
I really like them. I really like the album. I think this is the most exciting release. And I had really high expectations about this album, because it was like 7 or 10 years that they didn't release anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a huge hype. And this album, it's totally met my expectation. Which I thought that it was very hard to meet. So I'm very happy. I think it's the best prog metal album also in this year that mm-hmm. I listened, and I listened lots of prog metal or rock albums so far. It was, I think, by far the best in between them. So in this genre, I think they are leading. But I also put in my notes that the Haken will release an album. I might think that this can change, but so far they didn't release, so I cannot tell anything. But yeah, I'm
makes
waiting.
Sense. I was waiting something like they didn't release anything, but I think it would be one of the best album 2020. So
yeah. No, but they released 3 singles and they were really good. So I have huge expectation from Haken album, but yeah, first we need to listen. My second pick is the album is called Three, because it's the third album, basically, of Demons and Wizards. So for me, I was waiting for this album again for years. I'm a huge fan of Blind Guardian, and I'm a huge fan of Demons and Wizards. I think I know by heart all their songs in the first two albums.
How they are correlated?
How?
Like there are some members from Blind Guardian.
Yeah. It's
there?
Basically the Blind Guardian plus the guitarist of Iced Earth.
Oh, okay.
So Hansi is best buddies with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, okay, we like role playing games. So why don't we do a metal album about the games that we like? So that's how they started.
Because Demon and Wizards is a game.
No, the story is a bit more funny. The wife of the guitarist of Iced Earth, I don't know his name. That's why I will mention him as a guitarist of the Iced Earth. He says that his husband looks like a demon. And he always says that Hansi looks like the angel. But Hansi says that I'm no angel, but okay, I'm better than him, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they come up with the name of Demons and Wizards, because they say that the voice of Hansi is magical, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So they were best buddies, etc., because they met during the concerts in the 90s, I guess. And they have a similar genre, Blind Guardian and Iced Earth. So they were playing in lots of festivals, I guess, together. So there was a friendship going on, and in the end they started to build this super band, let's say, with their colleagues from their respective bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up, I think, being one of the best power metal band in the end.
Oh, and better than Blind Guardian.
Some songs are better than Blind Guardian,
okay.
To be honest. But for if you ask me, I don't see much difference between Blind Guardian songs and Demons and Wizards songs. So it's like, for me, it's like a change of personnel in the name, in the band. But yeah, basically, I was in between two albums for this second pick, between this one and also City Burials of Catatonia. Because both of them, I had huge expectations, and both of them really didn't met exactly my expectations, even this album. But in my opinion, this is like the best, best power or epic metal album that was released for last 5 years. So that's why I put it.
I cannot judge. I'm not really like a huge fan of this genre, so I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, okay.
One more note. There is a deluxe edition of this album, so the second CD is only the instrumental version of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth to listen.
Why?
It's very nice, even without words. I think this edition also is very nice.
I normally listen to instrumental music, so it's not really okay. But without the voice, the things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are songs that were written with voice, but then you have the instrumental.
Yeah,
version.
The instrumental version.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So generally, I'm a bit. I try to be. I don't like those kinds of remix without vocals, let's say. But this time, I think it was nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, this was my last note.
And do you want to know which is my worst album from 2020?
Yes, I want to hear that.
Okay, so I found also this band is called Sirith Ungo, that apparently is like a name from Lord of the Rings. It's like a place. You know, have you ever heard? Read or watched Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just asking, and not everyone did it. At least I read the books and I saw the movies. But you know when there's like this gigantic spider that tried to kill Frodo and the other guy?
Mm-hmm.
Frodo and?
Samwise.
Yes, you see, you're much more on page than me. The place in which this spider is located is this Sirith Ungo.
I just wanted you to explain. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, for the listeners, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but apparently they didn't even pronounce it correctly because they say Sirith Ungo. But anyway, so this is also like old AV metal band that every now and then they produce like a new album.
Mm-hmm.
They have like, I don't know, they are like in their 60s probably. And when I see this kind of bands, I'm like, I don't know, astonished, let's say, how people can, I mean, to listen to them, like, for example, when there's, like, this gathering of motorbikers, with Harley Davidson, you know, this kind of stuff.
I know.
Like, it's very, like, I think that these guys really fit, like, if there's a concert and they play there, they really fit in this
kind of. So basically, leathers, bald men with huge.
No, they're not bald. Not all of them. Oh, okay. I don't remember, but I remember hair from some of them, maybe everyone. I'm confused right now because I also start to make, like, my own, I'm starting to learn about this scene. Something that never interests me, but yeah, apparently it's really big, and probably they're making like the most of the money that they are in the metal scene. Okay, I don't want to. Well, from one side, I do understand, because I guess that the average age of their listeners is like 50. And normally these people have money to spend in album and go to concert and so on. While, I mean, if you play in a deathcore band, you have the average age of
15.
Exactly. So it's.
But those guys also have the credit card of their parents.
The one that listened to heavy metal, right?
The deathcore, so
only our generation is like the shitty one, because we don't have the credit card anymore, so and we don't have money, so we cannot support the band that we like. So it's like post-meta, it's like prog, and like all this genre in between. Yeah. But I mean, eventually we will turn 50 and then we will start to give them money.
Yeah, but maybe when we turn 50, we will start to listen to those bands.
I think they will be dead, because it means that they are in their 80s, and I don't think that they will play around unless they're Iron Maiden.
You
but
never
this is
know.
Another
you
story.
Never know.
Maybe the fact that they're playing around that makes them, keeps them young, let's say.
Most probably. Look at the Pink Panther. Not Pink Panther, Steel Panther.
How old they are?
I think they are 60s, but they look much
younger. Come on, seriously?
Yeah, most probably. Oh, 50.
50.
More than 50 for sure.
No, come on, it's too much.
Yeah, with that much plastic surgery, I will also look at something.
Now, when you start to talk, I will search, because this is not possible. I mean, I will say 50 maximum.
I can search
maximum.
For you.
But so, okay, about this band, no? So you can imagine the type of album that they released. Of course, if you check the review, it's like amazing album. Me personally, it was like a pain in the ass to listen to it. They're like, okay, classical heavy metal song, super slow. I mean, like, at least you need to have a certain BPM in order to be energetic.
55.
Yeah, you see, a little bit
so
more than
in between
50
and 60.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And yeah, we were talking about Steel Panther.
Steel Panther,
So they're super slow when they play. The production is good, because I mean, it's a well-produced album. I mean, these guys have money, as I said. But the thing is, it's so empty. When you listen to it, it's so empty. There's like one line of guitar, two lines of guitar. The drums is empty as well, and the voice is the thing that I hate the most. The voice is like this kind of screaming, like the typical hard rock heavy metal scream, but it's so boring. Like there's no change in. I mean, he always sing in the same way in whichsoever song, whichsoever type of song he sings. The singer that I don't even want to know which is his name, to be honest. So I like the name. I think it's misused in a band like this, and it was a really big disappointment. So that's why I picked up this this album as a worst release. But then, yeah, we want to know the last one.
My album that I pick is the album of Danzig that you made me listen, because you said that it will be fun.
Yeah, it was fun. At least you laugh at him, I guess.
Yeah, I start, well, of course. I tried to put some notes, and what I put is, So just, I don't have anything else to say about this. No, we already talked about it, and it felt like he was bored, so he decided to record stuff at home, and he ended up with this album.
Yeah, well, there's a way and way to be creative at home, because I see also what Devin produced during this quarantine, and the level is like Devin level, like really good quality. So I think that, I mean, it's not a matter of, okay, you're boring and you're in quarantine and you just want to do something. I mean, you can do something and then not produce it, right?
Yeah, true.
Like, I think
he released it.
Yeah, this was a commercial move, because apparently he has like a huge fan base, and then anyway, there would be someone buy this album, I guess.
But the problem is, who is addressing? So maybe he has a huge fan base, but maybe his fan base is not doesn't like to listen Elvis. And if this was just supposed to attire the fan base of Elvis, basically all the songs are better when Elvis sings, eh? So
yeah. I don't know, we need to check actually the review and the numbers, how many CD they sold and so on. I don't think they sold anything.
I checked some reviews. I didn't check the values or the numbers, but the reviews were very parallel with mine. So basically we didn't understand, or I didn't understand why he did that.
We have 10 minutes left.
Okay, so...
So what are we going to do?
Do you have any, like, any other album just you want to mention?
Well,
Who was good? Well, I just did a list. I can mention that.
Yeah, but in 20 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Trivium, it was much better than expected. Igor was very nice, but it wasn't one of the best. Kwon, they released a single called Life, but it's not an album, so the song is perfect. Just listen to it. And Mirkur Fox... Folkesange, I think. Well, it's not a metal album, but it's a beautiful folk album. 20 okay. seconds, I think.
Yeah, okay. It's fine. We have 9 minutes left.
Okay.
Are we going to cover all the topics, or will we cut something for the next episode?
No. We can. I think we can continue with our discoveries.
Okay. So I have two albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. The first one that I wanted to mention is from Moron Police. It's a Norwegian band, also prog rock.
Mm-hmm.
The name is, the title is A Boat in the Sea. I think it's one of the best prog rock album that I listen.
Mm-hmm.
So
personally.
The idea is what remembers me listening to them is like Thank You Scientist. So it's more or less the same idea of mm-hmm. band.
Mm-hmm.
They're in four. They're not like 2000 as in Thank You Scientist, but and it's really like a bright music, very well created. And I also read from some reviews that they use these lyrics that they are satirical and also like political incorrect, like they even mm-hmm. like talk about animals that they make a revolution against humans and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of really fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other one that I put is
I don't see any other album.
Oh, then it was only this one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have one.
Okay.
Well, again, after like 2 months of binge listening Greencarnation, I decided to check some new bands.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. And I come up with a very nice band, which is called The Ascent of Everest. They mm-hmm. are quite an old band, actually. They have three albums, or three or four. One of them, I'm not sure if it was an EP or a full album, but it's an American indie post-rock band. Their last release is in 2019 and is called Is Not Defeated. I really fell in love with the album, and I listened a few times mm-hmm. this week, and I was very moved by the album. So it's a really easy to listen album. The atmosphere is amazing. I also checked the post albums, the early albums of this band. They were a bit more experimental,
mm-hmm.
but not in the good way. So they sounded like they were trying to find their sound in the early album. So they were not maybe sure. So, but in the last one, it is much more stable. It is much more settled. It has better pillars to build an album, let's say. I highly recommend to check this band, especially the last album. They have a cello. They have
The arch is like violin and so on, like the family of
I think only cello, but the girl also sings while he plays cello. I think, but it is in their website, it is written the violin, etc. Maybe she also plays those in the album. They have the keyboard player was amazing, the synths, etc. The background music was very good, so I really like them. I would put it in one of the best albums in 2020 if it was in the 2020. If it was this, so I was very happy to find this band.
Yeah. Okay. Also, mine was from I think the last quarter of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's nice that at least we're recording this podcast. We are forced to listen to brand new music.
Yeah.
And, discoveries are.
What I realized, I think I really like post rock. in the end.
Oh, really?
That I just learned it like this week.
Between post rock and prog rock, I mean, you're not Blind Guardian, of course. It's not that you have like such a broad view. Eh?
Yeah, true. You are not so different. You put Arc Echo and like you go five steps in the right, five steps in the left.
No, but they canceled for this episode. I wanted to talk about the last album of Arc Echo, and then you said, but you're already talking. And I said, okay, yeah, true.
Sorry.
But that's why I focus more on black, black, sludge, and so on, because something, I think that it works to speak about this extreme genre, and we don't cover it so often. And I like black metal, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my sweet love from my teenager time.
My sweet love was epic metal, I think, from my teenage.
I think that we need to switch taste, because it doesn't really reflect. like you're a guy and I'm a girl, so you should listen to black metal. I should listen.
No, come on. I also like to listen to Blind Guardian while I commit to work. It's like I'm going to battle.
Well,
it gives me energy
to motivate you to go to work. True.
Yeah.
But yes. Next topic.
Let's move on to our non-metal playlists.
Yes. So, talking about each other's taste, I listened to your playlist. For me, it was quite boring.
Thank you.
It was really, really, like, the songs are really kind of romantic sometimes, but really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really nice to listen, I don't know, when you want to chill out with, like, smoking weed or so, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you want to cry. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend and you just need something as a background while you're sharing your despair to the walls. So, yeah, it's not for me. Maybe some cases, but as I said, they're really like cases that I don't... They don't happen often because I don't smoke weed and
you don't cry to the walls.
Well, at least I don't break up so often, so this is very good. But this is my comment.
Well,
very short.
I think we should put the links of our playlist in when we release the episode,
so they can judge. The listener can judge.
Yeah, for me, I also listen to your, because now we are talking about 5-6 songs that they don't know which songs that we are talking about.
So true.
That's why. I listen to your playlist and I again realized that I hate electronica.
Okay.
So basically, two songs. Well, I just realized that I didn't even know that something called hardcore exists.
Which is strange.
The second song was so boring to me.
Because hardcore is one of the main genre here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, but okay, but if I don't listen, for me, it's not existing.
It's true. But it's strange that you never heard about it. Like, you know that the biggest hardcore festival is here in Eindhoven.
Good for them. They can go.
See them. Like, there's like in July, you see all these guys dressed in black and there's no metal festival. So what do you think it is?
I'm living just outside Eindhoven.
That's true.
And I just go out of my house to see metal concerts.
Mm.
Or rock concerts. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I really didn't know that.
It's called Dominator, by the way.
The
name of this hardcore festival.
Dominate, yeah. Nice.
I want to go once, but one ticket costs 100 euros.
To that shit. Sorry, I don't want to, but it's just so, it was so boring. So the last song was from a band called Das Ich. Yeah. For me, it's also, again, didn't really like it. I realized that I don't like also pop and R&B, because there was one pop/R&B song in Italian. Yeah, but it's just not for me. Okay, it was a nice song, maybe. Most probably in a romantic dinner, etc., you can listen, because, you know, Italian songs are romantic.
It doesn't matter what they talk about.
No,
romantic.
But they are romantic. Okay. Yeah, the language is nice.
It's nice to have this stereotype spread all around the world, but okay. Yeah.
Well, you had one song from A Perfect Circle. I like them, and I think you have cheated, because I just liked one song and it was from A Perfect Circle, and I think it's a prog rock band.
Yeah, for me it's rock, but I don't put it like because it was rock metal, right?
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
So no problem, but generally we don't have the same taste in metal also, and we don't have the same taste outside the metal.
It's good, eh?
Good.
So. I don't know what we talk about all the time about metal, since we don't have the same taste, but...
Basically, you can find those playlists in the link below.
Yes.
You can check, you can comment. You can say that if you agree with us or not.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because every time we ask to comment, but no one does it.
Yeah,
so
we all
guys,
we
come on, just be more comment, proactive. Yeah. Last topic.
Yeah. So being a teenager in the 2000s, so we are nearly at the same age. We have a few months in between, I guess.
1 year, I guess.
But you are quite in the early of your year.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm just in the middle. Okay, I'm older than you, but we had our teenage in the same period.
Yeah.
Which is...
But
okay.
In different countries. This maybe also affects
most probably,
stories.
So, can you start?
Well, I actually come out with this team because I was checking some stuff about, I think it was for Stone Sour.
Mm-hmm.
They released something, I think they released an album, they're writing an album or something like this. And then I start to think, okay, what about the band that I used to listen when I was a teenager? So all this new metal genre that popped out and it was so commercial at the time. I remember you could see all of them in MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to check and then I was like, I start to remember my old time in which I was buying magazine. I mean, at the time I was buying magazine at the, at the shop.
No, but we also had magazines in Turkey, in Turkish. And that was the only way to reach the posters, for example.
Oh yeah, because the nicest thing were the posters, and then you could put it on the wall.
Yeah. That's.
But did you have also Metal Hammer?
No. It was just a few rock magazines, which were either translated to Turkish or we had a few writers in Turkish that they were doing those magazines.
I remember I was mainly Czech Rock Art and Metal Hammer, that actually they're a German magazine, but they had like their own magazine or their own, let's say, newsroom in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So we were reading the Italian version. They were so expensive because it was like €6 at the time. It was really expensive for a magazine, but they also had like this nice compilation.
Mm-hmm. The CDs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You could buy also the CD. And I remember that actually I got to know Arch Enemy because of this. At the time, they were not famous. It was like... the early stage in which Angela joined them, so no one knew them basically. And there was We Will Rise, there was the song that they gave to I think it was a Metal Hammer compilation. And I got in love with them thanks to it. And also other bands, but at the beginning I started to buy it because I wanted to find articles on Linkin Park and System of a Down. I was a huge fan of System of a Down.
Same.
And I remember I was so into Linkin Park that at a certain moment I asked my mom to buy a book about their life.
Oh, come on.
In the US, with the first Amazon. You know when Amazon was so difficult to use? I don't know if you ever tried. Parents, like, every time they had to purchase something in Amazon, it took, like, 1 week. Because with the credit card, nothing was working. So they had to call, like, I don't know, the bank or something like this. And it was Amazon US. So it's not like now that if you buy from Amazon.de, for example, the German one, they are kind of connected to each other and you can buy also in the US. No, here, if you buy in the US, it's different than if you buy in Amazon. Germany or UK or whatever. So it was so difficult and I had to wait 1 month because also there were no priority delivery like now. And then it was in English and I was 15, so I was not even able to translate. So when my mom was in the mood, she was helping me because luckily she knew English, but at the time I was trying to translate by myself and I think I didn't manage. And the nice thing is that when I went back some time ago to visit my parents, I found this book. And for me it was so easy to read. Like, I remember the struggle at the time. I wanted to know everything about their life. I was in love with Mike, like, you know, the rapper guy.
I
had a big crush on him. So I wanted to know everything about him and the story of the band. And I was not able to. And now I don't fucking care at all. And, you know, I can read the whole book, like, in 5 minutes because it's a very small book. It was at the beginning, so it was like...
They don't have a background too much.
They didn't have any history because I think that Habit Theory was from 2000 and this book was from 2001.
Yeah.
There was nothing. So, I mean, sometimes I think about this period and I was like, I was so naive and was so excited about Bullshit, and now maybe also because now we have much more information, we can reach faster.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it. Those magazines, etc. They were the only source of knowledge about the artists that we knew.
Yeah.
And at least in Turkish magazines, there were no interviews. I think they were just reading interviews and they were translating it and completing them.
No.
So I just realized that. We have now Wikipedia or some website, some webzines that you can learn, and you can just listen in YouTube, lots of interviews, etc., of your favorite artists. Lots of information in those magazines were bullshit. At least in Turkey, the thing, they were articles about System of a Down and how they hated Turkish people, but they basically don't.
Really?
Yeah. Why would they?
Well, what I remember from their interviews is that they were, let's say, that one of their own goals was to spread awareness about the genocide that they had in 1918 in Armenia. Sorry, mm-hmm, they are Armenian. But they never, they were, of course, they were mad at these people that commit genocide, but it was not generalized to Turkish people.
No, but they were politic. I think all the musics are politic. They have their music, own point of view, but I never saw them being activists.
No, well, I saw them. Mm-hmm. For example, do you remember the video clip Boom?
No.
It was when they started the war in Iraq.
They
were manifesting and so on. I think they are political. There are a lot of association to support the Armenian community and so on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The thing is, after they stopped to play with each other, they kind of, you didn't get to know so many information about them.
Yeah, true.
So I guess that they still continue to do their own stuff, being politically involved.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're not famous or they're not interested.
They have Kim Kardashian now. Much more.
At the time it was the same. There was Britney Spears, I guess, or someone else instead of the Kardashians. But yeah, the thing is that in the 2000s there was really this big boom related to this new metal music, and it was so commercial. Mm-hmm. And at a certain moment it just collapsed. I don't know. It was kind of replaced with emocore at a certain moment, but it didn't last so much.
I remember there was a huge hype for Evanescence. And this kind of music. So there are, for example, I remember comparison articles between Avril Lavigne and Evanescence, which makes no sense at all when you think about it. But back then, they were like camps in Turkey. The ones that love Avril Lavigne and the ones that love, I don't remember the name of the soloist, but from Evanescence.
Emily.
So they were like people... Like in the forums, in the websites, they were just firing each other.
Yeah, I remember that I used to listen to goth music much before Evanescence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there was this big boom above the band. And I remember my friend asking me, oh, which other goth bands do you know? Have you ever heard about Lacuna Coil?
Oh.
And I was like, guys, it's not because you know it. It doesn't exist before. But it was a kind of interesting period. And what I also realized is that I didn't know anything about music. Like, there was probably the same amount of music as now,
mm-hmm.
like so many bands, so many projects or whatever. But it was so difficult, as you mentioned, to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It was, of course, I remember it in a very positive way because I was so excited about all the discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's, it's much better. Like, there's more bands, more sonorities, more, like, you can get much more in contact with the musician because of all these social medias and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's completely a different world.
Yeah, in 20 years, yeah.
Yeah. So this was like a back to the past section, I guess, and
so we way out of our time, but
this is 10 minutes, but we enjoy actually this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you to listen to us as always.
Thank you, and please comment and please give her money.
Oh yeah, true, because you know, with our patrons, we are poor, we need money. Yeah. No, but come on guys, at least we want to have like an active community and share information to each other. So I think that you are there. I see from the numbers that you are listening to it. So please comment, please be part of our community and this podcast.
Yeah. See you.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.